look at sin exposed and what it actually does to a non-Christian and to a Christian as we continue to practice sin. So we're going to start with Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. And so at the outset, I want to ask you, where's your mind tonight? Is your mind on what the flesh desires, or is your mind on what the Spirit desires? In other words, are you most concerned about what you want, or are you most concerned about what God wants? Folks, it's an important question because Romans 8:5 that we just read again says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So is your mind set on natural sinful desires, or is your mind set on what the Holy Spirit wants? The mind that has itself set on the fleshly desires is going to bring death. Death to relationships, death to the person. Romans 8:6 again says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So, is your mind set on what the Holy Spirit desires for your life? What does the Bible tell us is the result of having our mind set on what the Holy Spirit desires? Life and peace. How many would like to have peace in your day? Man, I sure would. If we set our minds on things above, on the things of God, we will have peace in our hearts. If we set our mind on this world and what the flesh desires in this world, is going to lead to death and confusion. So I want to look at a few things that sin does in our lives. The world tells us sin is pleasant. Our flesh tells us that if I sin, it will fulfill the desires and my flesh will have rest. The devil tells us we're special, and for us it won't be sin anyhow. Tonight, I don't want to talk about what the world says about sin, or what our flesh tells us about sin, or even what the devil tells us about sin. We want to look at what does the Word of God tell us about sin. So number one, sin blinds our minds. Non-Christian and Christian alike, if you live in sin, it will blind your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Have you ever witnessed to somebody that you know is a pretty intelligent people, only to have them give you a totally blank stare? I don't get it. And sometimes we wonder why. You ought to be able, when it's clearly explained to you, surely you can understand this. But the Bible says they can't. Satan has their minds blinded, so they can't see. That's why before you witness to somebody, you need to be praying to the Lord to open their eyes. Folks, you can give the gospel as clear as you can possibly give it. And if the Holy Spirit isn't opening that person's heart, they're not going to get it. Satan is very convincing. He will totally blind their eyes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what we want to look at here, when sin entered life, when Adam and Eve sinned, spiritual death came, but not only spiritual death, spiritual blindness also came. And those are passed down to children, 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 through the fathers, right on down the line. And so even Christians who have the Spirit of God, if you begin to practice sin, the Bible says two things are going to happen to you. Number one, you're going to get nearsighted at first. In other words, you can't see afar off. That's my problem with my physical eyes. I can see up close really good. I can read really good here. But like Bev right now, I can see she's got glasses on, but I can't see her eyes. I can see she's got hair, but I really can't tell what color. And Dave's even worse. He's further back from her. And the further you get, the less I can see physically. But not only do you get nearsighted, the Bible says even a Christian can become blind. You've all known Christians. I know I sure know quite a few that used to walk close to the Lord, that knew what sin was, who have now walked away from the Lord, and they no longer identify what sin and sin is not. They can't tell anymore. That's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort. Now, this is important because if you don't make the effort to add these things, you could be the next one that's going to get nearsighted and that's going to lose your vision. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and that's what we talked about this morning, we should continue to grow. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them, in other words, you're not adding goodness, you're not adding love, you're not adding perseverance, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. And he's writing that to Christians, forgetting they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so we need to add some things after salvation, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when this life is over, I want to hear my old ward say, "Well done, Jerry." That's so important to me. I want to hear that. Perfect? No, far from perfect, but really striving. And I want to keep right on striving until the Lord takes me home. The natural man and the carnal believer. I say that both together because a carnal believer can get just as blind as a natural man. They're trying to, by grasping and manipulating life, to fulfill themselves and to find peace in things that can't fulfill anybody or bring peace to anybody. The way back to the abundant life that everybody so dearly desires is not through sin. The way to the abundant life is through a person. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10:10, Jesus said the thief, and he's talking about Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. The closer you draw to Christ, the more fulfilling your life is going to be. And when I'm talking about fulfilled life, I'm not talking about the richer finances and popularity. I'm talking about a life that has meaning, a life that makes a difference. In John 15:10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Folks, we need to be those that draw near to our Lord. I'm going to skip 1 Peter 1:5 through 9 again, Dave, because we just read that. I'm going to go to John 17:17. This is the word we use this morning. Sanctify sounds almost scary, almost impossible. But when you realize that all sanctified means is becoming like your Lord, that makes a difference. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So let me ask you, other than being in church this last week, how much did you read your Bible? I don't need an answer, but I just want you to think about that a minute. If the word of God is what's going to sanctify your life, make you like your Lord Jesus Christ, how much are you in it? How much are you memorizing and hiding away? And as life goes on, are you now able to quote Satan a verse like we talked about in Sunday school this morning? When Satan says, "You've lost your salvation isn't real." Do you know John 5:24 well enough to quote it back to Satan and say, "This is what God says"? It's important to hide the word. In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So number one, sin will make you blind. It'll make you nearsighted if you're a Christian or blind again. Number two, sin defiles your heart. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. King David asked the Lord for a pure heart, a heart totally divided away from this world and set on Christ, or God, in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What does that word steadfast mean? Any idea? Keep at it. Don't have a divided heart. The Bible says that a man with or a woman with a divided heart is unstable in everything they do. We've got to stop being on the fence, straddling the fence, and we've got to make a decision. Just like Joshua told the people of his day, you have to make a decision. You can serve the gods that your parents served on the other side of the river. You can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There wasn't this back and forth thing. Joshua decided with all of his heart he was going to serve the Lord. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get some other benefits besides. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our God is holy, and he wants us to not be blind or defiled by sin, but to be holy also, so that we can see afar off and we can understand the things of God. If you think sin doesn't make people blind, answer this for me. Why is our government giving away money that they don't have that anybody with common sense knows at all is going to destroy this country? I mean, it's not millions anymore. It's billions and now trillions that they're giving away to enemy nations. It makes no sense to anybody, but it does to them because, got to tell you, they're blind. Why does a 90-pound woman think she's fat and she becomes bulimic or goes anorexic in order to lose more weight? Why does that happen? Because our minds and our hearts aren't right. Why are children shooting each other? Young children now. No school is safe anymore. Even grade school places have kids coming in with guns, shooting other kids and shooting their teachers. Something's wrong with the heart. Why do men love men and women love women the way the Bible says that men are supposed to love their wives and wives are supposed to love their husbands? It doesn't make any sense to somebody that has the Word of God in their heart. But it's happening all around us. We think sin will set us free. The Bible says exactly the opposite. Look with me at John 8:34. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Sin ensnares us. We think I can do this and it won't bother me at all, but it's going to snare you whether you think so or not. In Psalm 50, verse 20, you sit and testify. Whoops, that's not what I've got. I'll bet I did Proverbs. We'll read that. You sit and testify against your brother and slander your own mother's son. When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. But now I arraign you and set my accusations before you. Consider this. You who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and to the blameless I'll show my salvation. Extremely important we understand that sin ensnares. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you'll not grow weary and lose heart. Sin hinders the answers we desire to prayer. If you're practicing sin in your life, don't expect the Lord to answer your prayers. In Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. I think I mentioned before, I worked with a man at Plant 2 who came to me one time and asked me if I would pray for his two daughters. And I knew he was a Christian, and I said, why don't you pray for your own two daughters? He said, I can't. I asked why. He said, every night at 2 in the morning, I wake up just like clockwork to go down to the study, and I watch the Playboy channel every single night. And he said, I know God will not hear my prayer. Folks, is it worth it? If you know that, I mean, if you really understand that, is watching the Playboy channel worth losing your daughters? It's not. And I don't care what the particular habit of sin is in your life, it's not worth having the Lord turn his back on you and not answer your prayers. We want to live in such a way that our God is pleased with us. Sin wars against your soul. God's program for each of us is to become Christ-like. But when we practice sin, everybody in this room sins from time to time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the practice of sin. Getting into sin and carrying it on week after week, month after month, year after year. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Satan says nothing's going to happen. God says you're going to destroy your own soul. Even as a Christian, you're working against God's program. God desires to have you be exactly like his son. That's his most important desire for your life and my life. And when we practice sin, we destroy that relationship. Our sin brings in a crop that nobody wants to harvest. Even the unsaved don't want to harvest this crop. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I don't know about you, but when I understood that, we had sandburrs on my farm when we first moved out when I was a young boy. Nobody in their right mind would plant sandburrs. Because if you plant sandburrs, you're going to get more sandburrs. But in our spiritual lives, we're planting things we know are not right for us. They're things that our God has forbidden for us, and somehow Satan, the world, and our flesh fools us into thinking we're going to get away with it. God has given you a promise, and I'm glad God keeps his promises, but this one here, you have to learn from. You have to say, I'm going to stop sowing the wrong seed. I'm going to stop sinning in every area of my life as the Holy Spirit reveals it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to repent of it. And I'm not practicing it anymore. And I hit that pretty hard this morning too, because so many Christians understand, just like my friend at work, he knew that if I watch the Playboy channel, God won't hear me. But he didn't want God to hear him enough to stop watching the Playboy channel. Folks, as Christians, we have to say, that's not real bright. I need God to answer prayers, and I want to pray for my kids. In Romans 6:23, here's the wages. The wages of sin is death. And it's not just talking physical death or spiritual death. It's talking about how many families you know that the old boy got into cheating on his wife and it caused the death of their marriage. How many of you know people that got into drugs and it caused the death of their relationships with their family? You could say the same thing about gambling. You can say the same thing about all kinds of habits people have that are sinful. It brings death in every area. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because many will not confess and repent of their sin, even many that claim to be born again Christian. I got to tell you, there's a lot more people claiming to be a born again Christian than what are born again Christians. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus made this very clear. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, in other words, you confess Jesus as Lord. Not everyone who says that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The only hope we have as Christians, even, is to repent and quit doing it. So many want to confess sin, but they don't want to change. What God wants us to do is confess our sin and repent of it and have a change in heart. Because if the heart changes, the life is going to change. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And the only way to be spotless and blameless and at peace with God, number one, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And number two, when the Holy Spirit shows you clearly you're walking in sin, you need to turn around. You need to confess that and repent of that and figure out, according to God's word, how can I deal with this so that it doesn't keep robbing me? How much have we missed in life in God's plan because of sin in our lives? Again, Satan's going to tell you, your flesh is going to tell you, this world's going to tell you, it's okay. Folks, it's not okay if you want to live a life that glorifies God and that blesses you and your family. We need to deal with our sins.